But when he finishes the massage, which is a short massage, it's only like 15 minutes.
That's another thing. I need my massage to be like an hour.
Yeah, I hear you.
So you can get in there. Because it takes a while just to get
like the... loosen up a little
just
bit.
Just to loosen up. Warm up the muscles. Yeah. And then really go in there. And then afterwards, you don't even want to move because you don't want to ruin the massage.
But this is the thing. He wants you not to move afterwards. But after 15 minutes, I'm kind of thinking like, I have things I need to do.
Yeah.
And I want to get up and I want to get dressed and I want to go.
This is why you need the spa experience.
But he like, when I push up a little bit, he goes like, ooh, rolling. You know, like, whoa, 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 not so fast, senor. And it's like, you know what? I'm in charge of my body. So I feel like we're warming up the muscles right now. Mm-hmm.
Getting the conversation.
My muscle is right here.
La 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 la.
La la. Red leather, yellow leather.
I can't do the red leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
You're a natural. It is
red
so hard.
Red leather, yellow leather.
That is a really
yellow good. Leather, red leather.
Now you bugged that one.
Red and yellow leather.
Together.
Ooh.
So, episode 5.
Mm-hmm. Episode 5.
Of The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
We've made it to 5 episodes.
And let me tell you, this is a very exciting episode because we're going to have the grand reveal.
the grand reveal.
We've had a lot of build up. Billboards. Skywriting.
Not really.
No. But we will talk about
where... We've just had funny looks. That's what we've gotten when we've told people.
The name of our show.
Yes, which
of
is...
our podcast.
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
And you should give it to them in the Icelandic, because it's much shorter in Icelandic, and because it is an Icelandic saying. It's not something we just made up.
Rúsinan í pilsundinum. Rúsinan í pilsundinum. So we're going to talk about that and a lot of other things about Icelandic language.
Which is so freaking complicated.
It's just an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord of language fascination.
Torture. It's torture. That's what it is. I'm taking Icelandic right now, and I had it this morning. I woke up and I was like, oh my God.
You had like your Icelandic class this morning?
I had my Icelandic class this morning, and I just did not want to get up and go to class because I was like, it's so, the language, the teacher is fabulous. I love her. But the language is just so, there's so many layers. It's so complex.
Yes.
Like every time you think, okay, I get that. Then it's like, oh, but in this situation, all the words change and it sounds nothing like you think it would.
Right.
You're like, oh, okay.
It's like an M.C. Escher drawing of staircases.
It is.
They like go into each other and you think you're heading up, but you're heading down then. Where am I going?
I don't know.
Which way is up? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I'm I'm very impressed that you speak it so well.
It took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't speak it. There are lots of times when I have no idea what someone's saying to me. There are lots of times when someone's talking to me and all I hear is bippity bippity boop. Just, and I look at them like, excuse me? And then again, they say slower, bippity bippity boop. And then I just normally do the nod like, oh, uh-huh.
I think you should change your cover word, like not cover word, your filler word, something with a bunch of R's and Z's and just like, weird G sounds, because that's what Icelandic sounds like.
Just like someone trilling and like blowing raspberries at you.
and then saying that. And yeah. Then you're like, oh, okay. Of course. Uh-huh.
But I think it's something that people are interested in at the same time, because it is so, like, it is such like a weird, arcane language.
It's totally strange. My ear is still not totally used to it.
Right.
The first time I heard it, I was... convinced people were just making sounds at me. It was all some elaborate, right. Elaborate joke because this is no. Is this really? Because I, Spanish, growing up in Texas, of course, you hear it all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. It's incorporated into our Texas English.
Right. So, you know what's, even if you don't speak or understand Spanish completely, you know what it sounds like and you can kind of get in there a little bit.
But just like these are completely foreign, weird sounds.
Completely different sounds.
Yeah.
Don't sound like French. They don't sound like Chinese. They don't sound like Arabic. It's completely different.
Right. We're not going to talk a lot about grammar and all that sort of stuff.
No, no.
But but we talk about the language a little bit, and then like just like weird language things in the country.
Speaking about weird language things, did you hear what I just said? And I feel like it's a tick I've picked up living here.
What?
I said no.
I didn't it's say, like I signed a cadence.
Yeah, I didn't say they say nay nay.
Nay nay.
Like just it's filler.
They also they go okay like mm-hmm. that. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, and I've started doing that.
Okay.
I don't do it in Icelandic, but I've incorporated into my English.
Yeah.
The way I speak English.
It's infecting you.
It's weird. I'm becoming infected with Icelandic.
It's spreading. We're going to have to cut off your face.
Well, I don't know. Maybe this will help. Maybe I'm really actually learning Icelandic.
Absorbing it through osmosis.
It's just osmosis, and it's just really a slow process.
You're just marinating
and
in
then
Icelandic.
One day, it's just got to, whoop.
So I'm hoping that we can make this kind of fun.
Yeah.
And not too dry.
Yeah.
But
oh God, I'm saying yeah again. Oh,
yo. I feel like 80% of the language is communicated through like different variations of yow.
It is. You can. It's
yeah,
full
yeah.
conversation.
Yo. yo. Oh, say yo. On and on and on. So yeah, it doesn't really sound like any of the languages,
right?
But. And people ask me a lot when we live in, like, when we were in America, they were like, oh, do they have their own language there?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Icelandish? Like, what is it? People seem to be sort of curious about the fact that, like, such a small country.
It has its own
300,000 people, and they can have all their own language.
Yeah, it's like they must speak Norwegian or Danish.
Or just English. I think most people just assume that everyone speaks English everywhere in the world.
There was a guy at the co-op when we were leaving, and I was... I just paused our membership because they say it's easier to do that way than to cancel. Pausing my membership at the Park Slope Food Co-op. And, and that was just a little shout out. I want to make sure people understand what I say. I was telling him we were moving to Iceland. He was like, oh, yeah, so they speak some like some form of Swedish or something there. I was like, no, they speak Icelandic. It's, you know, closely related to Old Norse. That's the
parent language.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. He kept saying, oh, yeah, so like Swedish. I was like, no, it's not Swedish. It was the most bizarre encounter. And there was another woman there with me, like that was working in the office. And she was looking at me like, why does he keep saying? I was like, I don't know. You were working with him. She's like, he's weird. It was a very strange experience.
Well, it's not that Icelandic is like Swedish, but more that Swedish is like
Icelandic,
like an outgrowth.
Yeah.
Like a weird wart of Swedish, of Icelandic. I'm just kidding. Everyone in Sweden, just kidding.
Swedish is a beautiful language.
I love you.
It's a little sing-songy, that's Swedish.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a beautiful language.
Yeah, but it is a Nordic language. Icelandic is a Nordic language. Unlike, but related to Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish. Faroese, mm-hmm. too. But...
Faroish. It's not... Is it Faroish or Faroese?
Faroese.
Oh.
Faroese.
Ooh.
But instead of moving into the, you know, modern era, like all of the other... Nordic languages with ABBA and IKEA.
It's
and
like instead of speaking like Spanish and modern Italian and French and Portuguese, they're still speaking Latin.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Keeping it real. They just have a lot of those ancient elements. It's like living in a Renaissance fair.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's a Renaissance fair that you can never leave. You're always and forever here. So some people claim that because it's like it hasn't changed that much, mm-hmm. there's this claim out there that, oh, Icelanders can pick up a saga, you know, like the ancient sagas that are written in like the 10th century or 11th century, 12th century, 13th century, mm-hmm. these ancient sagas, and they can read it, which is no problem at all.
No. All languages change.
Exactly.
It's a living, breathing thing, language. It's dynamic.
But I was talking with some people today about how, like, what it's like actually to pick up
mm-hmm.
a saga. And for one thing... It's something that they learn in school.
Right. It's like reading Shakespeare.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like reading Shakespeare or like Milton or like someone from early modern English.
Right.
You can look at it. The words are familiar, but you don't have like the cultural context anymore.
Right.
So I was talking to these people and they were like, no.
Yeah.
It's not really that easy. It's like reading. I'm using it like the word like. It's as though one were reading. Like early middle English.
Yeah. And that's why Shakespeare makes your brain hurt.
Just a little bit.
Because it's not, it's like it's blurry. It's like you have an astigma. It's a linguistic astigmatism. It's a little bit, a little off. It's a little blurry.
I mean, one of the cool things that people see really fast when you like look at Icelandic mm-hmm. is that it has some of like the ancient letters in it.
Yeah.
Like the ETH,
yeah.
which is the D, it looks like a little curvy D with mm-hmm. a line through it, lowercase d.
Yeah.
And then the thorn, mm-hmm. which is like a P and a B married mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. Like has a long stick that goes all the way up and down.
Yeah,
and
like it's a like a boop. Pregnant lady.
It's like a pregnant
lady. It's like me pregnant. That's how I looked pregnant, tell you the truth. Except it's missing boobs. Yeah.
And but both those sounds, both the eth and the thorn, mm-hmm. are basically the same thing as th. So nothing too fancy.
Yeah.
But Old English had the thorn for a long time. And mm-hmm. this is what is really fascinating.
I learned this in my English class. Go ahead.
Is it the same? Is it
in high school. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So.
And I had a German teacher. Bizarre. In English weird. Class. Yeah. But go ahead.
So apparently thorn eventually evolved out of English, except mm-hmm. the last holder on was in the word the. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's a TH sound. So in Old English, they would write the thorn E. Mm-hmm. And then as time went on, people stopped remembering how to write the thorn or like
sloppy.
Typesetters didn't have mm-hmm. the thorn laying around. So instead they used a Y, mm-hmm. which meant that instead of the old shop, mm-hmm. you have ye old shop. Although no one ever said it ye.
Exactly.
That's like a back formation that we've mm-hmm. done. It's mm-hmm. not a real thing. Yep. Not a real thing.
We've been projecting right. onto them what we think they were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Ye olde curiosity shoppe.
Shoppy.
But it's kind of cool. It's like when typewriters lose one of their keys mm-hmm. and you have to just like use another key instead got. Of it. Mm-hmm. Icelandic, it's a tough language.
It's a hard friggin' language. And I have to say, that's why I give you a lot. I know you've been studying and speaking the language for a long time, but anybody that learns Icelandic and speaks it and writes it, I find that so amazing.
Yeah, but I think it just takes time. You just have to like really sit with it for a long time.
It takes a lot of dedication.
I think that also instead, like you obviously have to learn like all the paradigms and all mm-hmm. the different lists of adjectives and the different declensions and stuff like that. But I think more and more you start to learn phrases, mm-hmm. like a whole sentence.
Right.
And then you can pull that out of your like tool bag and like that's your sentence that yeah. you want to use. You know what I mean?
As opposed to thinking about it.
Right, exactly. You sort of go on autopilot.
You would get lost and amazed thinking about
your brain
the right
implode.
Words to use in
your brain
Iceland.
Would implode.
It's like, oh, how do I use this noun and this ad? Like, because they all change all the time.
So let's talk about the grammar a little bit. Let's not get too far into grammar.
But I took Latin in high school. If you've ever taken Latin, it's a little bit like that.
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about, like, how Swedish and Norwegian and Danish have evolved and mm-hmm. Iceland stayed old school.
Right.
And their grammar is really complex. Like, the other languages have gotten really streamlined. Iceland, not so much. It's mm-hmm. like they're using iPhone 7. Iceland, we're still using iPhone 2. Or it's like much cooler than that. It's much, much cooler than that. It's like they're driving around in dorky smart cars and we're like riding in on the horse. Okay. On like the war horse. It's a badass to use the complex grammar.
Yeah, but you have all that heavy armor on. How do you move?
But damn, it looks good, doesn't it? It looks good.
You can just pose.
That's right.
You can't really go anywhere. Just pose.
Just tell people that you know the grammar. That's all they need to know. But like I said, it's like Latin, it's like German, you have all these different cases, you have four cases for, well, in German, you only have four cases for nouns, mm-hmm. but Icelandic?
Yeah.
Icelandic declines every fucking thing I could get its hands on. Nouns, pronouns.
So not cute.
Adjectives.
As a student, I say it's so not cute.
Absolutely not. And nothing is safe.
Yeah.
Your personal name mm-hmm. declined. Mm-hmm. Your kid's name's declined. Mm-hmm. Your dog's name declined. Street yeah. name declined, declined, declined. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything it can get its hand on is declined. And adjectives. Adjectives are the worst.
I keep thinking about that. Like, as I work in a kindergarten, and I almost don't use the colors with the kids. So I'm like, oh, wait.
Am I going to say it wrong?
Am I going to say it wrong?
Am I going to teach them wrong?
I'm going to teach them the wrong way to say the colors. I can't say anything because what if I say it wrong and they look at me crazy or they start using it incorrectly?
It's declined for case. It's declined for number, gender, strong and weak, like 3 degree. It's declined 65,000 ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
And you're just fucked if you don't do it right.
Clocks are female, but the numbers, when you tell the time, are not, correct?
Are neuter.
They're neuter.
Yeah.
Numbers are neuter. Clock is female.
Yeah, the gender is pretty much divorced from, like, real gender in the world, too. Like, the word for cop, lukka, is female,
mm-hmm.
even though, like, most of the cops here you run into are male.
Mm-hmm.
The word for, like, teacher, which is traditionally a female job, is male. So sometimes when you're talking about a teacher, you use the male mm-hmm. pronoun. Sometimes you're talking about a cop, even though it's a man who's standing in front of you, you use female pronoun.
Right.
It's a wackadoo.
Do you see? See what we're saying? Do you see how it gets in your... It messes with your mind.
I think the crazy thing is, though, that people's names change. Like, you can't even count on your name to be the same. Like, my father-in-law, his name is Hardir.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Hardir in the nominative, Hardh, accusative, Hardi, dative, mm-hmm. and Hardar, genitive.
Jeez. Mine doesn't change much. It just changes the one way.
Right. Lydia, 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 Lydia.
Yeah, that's it. I'm lucky because I have an A ending name.
Right. Lucky you.
Lucky me.
So you have all these declensions for every single word in the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, as you step through the sentence, the landscape is like constantly changing. Have you ever been to the State Fair of Texas?
I don't want to admit that I have never been to the State Fair. I know. I grew up in a great state. I grew up in Fort Worth. State Fair is right there in Dallas.
Next door.
Never went. Never saw Big Tex in person.
They always had a crazy ride there
mm-hmm.
called, it changed like probably every year.
Yeah.
It was called like the Vominator or the Brain Scrambler mm-hmm. or something like that. But you like got in your little car, they strapped you in, and then the whole thing started to spin around a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then your little car started to spin around another circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then like...
The thing starts going up and down.
The whole thing like lifts up and down and you don't know which way you're turning.
Yeah.
And everything's rotating on like all these different
axes. Well, you figure it out because somebody's going to throw up on you. You're like, oh, that way is up.
That way is up. But that's what it's like to say a sentence in Icelandic. Just every little thing is changing.
See, and just thinking about that freezes my brain. I'm just like, I can't. There's no way I could possibly do that.
Like, take one, just one adjective.
Green. Yes,
green. 120 ways. 120 ways it can be played out.
So unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because you know what works well? Green.
Green.
Done.
Just fine.
Done.
So, to add insult to injury... Not only is all this crazy grammar messing you up.
Yes.
But they don't like loan words in this language.
Yeah. That's the thing about other languages, especially English. They will bring in words from other languages. They're like, oh, that's what you call that? Okay. That's what... Add it in. Add it into the pile. Boop, boop, boop. Icelandic is like, no, thanks. We'll come up with our own words.
We don't want your used words. We talked about this a little bit before, but like Icelanders don't like used shit.
Mm-hmm.
We have all this used baby shit in the house.
Yeah.
We have this, like, nice crib. We have a crazy nice car seat that my mom got us. Mm-hmm. And, like, the baby's big enough now where it doesn't need all this baby stuff anymore. And we're trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
No one wants it.
Which I find so strange. Because Iceland is so, well...
It's so expensive here.
But you know what? I think it might come from now having things more readily available. Like, for a long time, Icelanders had to be super frugal.
And like, you had to rely on that.
Reuse, recycle.
Yeah.
You had to do that. And so now that you don't have to do that, I feel like people are like, why would I do that?
It's
I can just
more fun.
Get what I want.
Right. Well, the same goes for the language.
Yeah.
They don't want your old, used, nasty words.
No, thank you.
They want their very own.
Their very own that it has to have at least 7 syllables. And you must roll an R and hold a, what is that called? When they have like the, just like the H's kind of like an H sound in the middle and a D.
Oh, pre-aspiration.
Gotta have some of that, too.
Gotta have some salty pre-aspiration.
Gotta have some pre-aspiration and some rolling R's, or we don't want it.
That, like, if you look at the word telephone in almost all other languages,
mm-hmm.
it's some version of mm-hmm. telephone.
But that comes from Greek, really?
Yeah.
So, or, you know.
Yeah. But Iceland will not have the Greek. No, thank
it's
you.
It's like Greek is one of your cousins. It's one of those old languages. Come on. But no.
But I kind of like the fact that they're all, it has like its own funky words too.
Yeah, it's cool.
I got to talk when I was working for a magazine at one point. I got to interview this woman who used to work for the language committee. Her name is Gudrun Karan. And she was like one of the people who worked. I don't know if she worked on the committee or she worked closely with the committee.
Mm-hmm.
But her take on it was like, it's an art form to come up with new words.
Yeah, it is.
She was talking. She gave me this one example for the word jet. She was like, when jets first came along. And I mean, jets are important here because, like, everyone's flying through Iceland. Yep. You see lots of jets.
And they're going to be saying yet.
And yeah, exactly. If you say yet, no one's going to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But she was saying that, like, the word that they came up with in the beginning was crazy. It was Háþrýstingsloftflugvél.
Does not roll off the tongue.
Does not roll off the tongue.
Say it one more time.
Háþrýstingsloftflugvél.
Holy cow.
High pressure air flying machine.
Can you spell that so that people can get an idea of how those sounds, what they look like written down?
It's Háþrýstingsloftflugvél. Just a whole mess of letters. A whole mess of letters.
See?
But Icelanders didn't like it either. Because it's a mess.
It's not snappy. Jet is snappy.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't, whatever that word is, set. You jet set, you know, because you're fancy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what a jet is. You need a flashy, snappy word.
Exactly.
So people agreed with you. Mm-hmm. They just thought, they ignored it. They didn't want to use it.
They're like, whatever.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. Mm-mm. And then some person, I think it was a journalist or something like that, they started to use the word thota. Mm-hmm. Which is derived from the word thiota, which means to dash, to jump around.
Okay.
To go zip around, look at the split.
Mm-hmm.
So thiota, much easier. And it's sort of like when the Icelanders heard that word, they were like, yes, that's the one. Take that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of the new words, a lot of them are just like direct translations, but a lot of them are also these like sort of like artful new words. Like, you know the word for computer?
Tolva.
Yeah. It's a combination of the word number and prophetess, which is so cool. I like that one a lot.
You know, it's like she's sitting on a mountain somewhere. What's her name in the Aeneid?
Oracle?
The Oracle at Delphi?
At Delphi, yeah.
Delphi. Her. It's like it's her.
That's the computer.
But it's the computer.
Do you know, and I know we don't use this anymore, but beeper? Beeper, it's Friðþjófur.
And what does that mean?
The thief of peace.
Oh. And it did disrupt the peace.
It did disrupt the peace. Beep, beep, beep. Isn't that an awesome word, though?
Oh, is that what beepers used to? I can't even remember what they used to sound like. Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah.
I like that.
That is a great word.
I like that a lot. Oh, for my friend Alta Sumastotir, she just put out a book, actually, about Icelandic. But one of her favorites is Vasadisco.
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 Vasi means pocket.
Pocket.
And disco, a disco.
Oh, I should know pocket, because a little girl the other day kept showing me her pockets. She kept saying, like, look at my pockets.
So can you imagine what pocket disco would
be? Pocket disco. Disco in my pocket. I got a disco in my pocket. Some sort of, it's like, how old is this word? Because it's not an iPod.
No.
Not
it's
an
like
iPod.
It's like an 80s, 80s,
90s. 80s, 90s.
More like 80s, really, though.
More like 80s. So
you're
a Walkman.
Exactly. It was a Walkman.
Who didn't have a Walkman?
Ooh. Who didn't have a pocket disco?
A pocket disco. That's a great way of putting
it. It's a party wherever you go.
It's a party in your pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good.
So should we talk about names a little bit?
Yeah.
Names are a little bit different here.
They are a little different here. And it's cool. I feel like it keeps the person, it's very individualistic.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, like, in other countries, your name very much belongs to your whole family.
Oh, yes. That's what you're saying.
Like, especially, like, in Latin American countries and in Spain.
People's last names here.
Your last names and how it just gets added on. But that's all part of your name. Like, your family name just get tagged on. Like, your mother's name.
In Spain,
in Latin America. So you end up with this really long name, and it's basically your family history in your name.
And you got to carry that all around with you.
And you carry it with you everywhere you go. And I also mean it because, like, people don't change their names when they marry, because it would be strange. Oh, let's go. I'll take it back, because I'm getting ahead of myself. In Iceland, traditionally, it's your given name, and your quote-unquote surname or last name is... a parent's name, doesn't matter which parent.
I mean, traditionally it was your father's.
Traditionally your father, but now.
Right. Now you see mothers and you see fathers.
And sometimes it's both.
Right.
It's that person's name and son or daughter, depending on if you're a son or a daughter.
Right.
So I would be Lydia. James doesn't exist in Icelandic.
So you would be Lydia Jakobsdóttir.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have a family name at all.
And I wouldn't have a family name, no. And
people in the same family don't have the same last name, yeah. Which is weird.
But also it would be weird if you got married and changed your name to your spouse's name, because you don't suddenly become that person's son or daughter.
Right, right, right.
Like if I changed my name to Lydia Sturluson, that would be weird.
Right.
Because I'm not the son of Sturla.
Right.
I'm just not.
So everyone keeps, I mean, people keep their name through marriage.
Yeah, people keep their name. So that's another way I feel like it's very, you keep your individuality. You keep who you are. That never changes.
Another thing
I think is great.
Is that like people's patronyms here, they don't act like surnames.
No, they don't.
Like, you don't call someone by their patronym to show them respect.
No.
Like, all the teachers are just called by their first name.
By their name.
If I were to go talk to the president tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'd call him Guðni. I wouldn't call him President Johansson.
Right.
That isn't... I mean, and the people that I work with, mm-hmm. I don't know their patronyms.
I don't either.
I have no idea what they are.
And it's funny because I work in two places, and sometimes the people know each other.
Right.
And I'll be like, oh, so-and-so... said to tell you hi, and I'll go to think of their last name to like clarify who I'm talking about, and I'm like, oh, I don't know her last name.
But it happens all the time here.
Yeah.
And it happens so much that this is kind of a moot point now because it's not printed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But when the phone book was printed,
yeah,
it was all arranged by first name.
Because
that's how you look someone up.
Yeah.
Because that's the name you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might know their patronym, and then you can see their address and stuff like that.
I think it speaks to also like how level Icelandic society is.
Oh, like sort of a classless society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, no, that's just so-and-so. It doesn't matter like who they are.
Right.
Although
some families here do have like a Danish name or a Norwegian name that they tack on to the end of their names.
Or my mother-in-law, her family, they have a family name.
They have a family name. Okay.
Yeah. But I think they did it to make fun of the other people who were taking up family names. I think it was just kind of thumb in their nose at those people. They're like, oh, you think you're so cute? Look, we have a family name too.
What are you going to do about it? One thing I really like is that, so because there's only like, there's like an approval list names, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Oh,
and you have to like use a name off the list.
That kind of, okay, that really rubs my... frontier Texan-ness the wrong way.
Exactly.
But go ahead, what you were going to say.
This precious American freedom.
It does.
They're stifling it.
It really chokes it out.
But going back to, so there's only a set of names that people can use. So there's lots of people here who have
the same name.
So going back to the phone book,
mm-hmm.
in the phone book, they allow you to put like a little extra identifier in there. And normally it's like your job, right?
Yeah.
But there are some great examples of what people put in there.
Okay.
One of my favorites is there's actually a guy we work with.
Oh, who is this?
Pippi,
mm-hmm.
who is a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy who has the same name as him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was apparently getting calls for Pippi all the time.
Okay.
And so in the phone book, he put... like yada yada yada, whatever his name was,
mm-hmm.
not a bass player. Like that was his extra identifier.
It's like, no, I can't come play bass in your band. Leave me alone.
I was looking through, and these are some of the other ones that I really like. Jón Sævarsson, share expert.
Mm.
And when I say share, I don't mean like share and share like. I mean share like.
Do you believe in love?
Exactly, that's share.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vietis Erna Eilsdóttir, hamster whisperer.
So can you just go online?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want.
Oh my God, I have to go change mine.
The world is your oyster.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to put.
Kjartan Johan Bjarnason, bullshitter.
Bullshitter. Icelanders in general are pretty expert bullshitters, I got to say. They will bullshit till the cows come home.
They don't need to put that in the phone book. I see what you did there till the cows come home.
I know.
Cows and bulls.
Bovine jokes.
Cows and bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Last one.
Mm-hmm.
Margrét Gøye Magnúsdóttir, badass lady and child star.
What would you put? I mean, you're the one and only Jonas Moody of Iceland, but what would you?
Oh, pressure's on.
Or should I?
I don't know.
The one and only Jonas. Do you not want your last name in there?
Jonas Moody, bon vivant.
I love it.
I don't know, like, but I'm fun.
You are fun. You're a fun guy.
How about that?
Jonas the
Moody.
Fun guy. you know Jonas Moody. He's fun. He's a fun guy.
What else should we talk about? What else should we tell people about Icelandic?
Oh, goodness. We were going to go back to something. What was it?
Oh, the naming committee.
Jesus Christ, the naming committee.
So, the naming committee exists to ruin people's lives, basically.
I mean, I understand they want to preserve Icelandic names. And as part of the whole preserving the language thing, I understand that. Because Icelandic is spoken by so few people. And English just really, the British Empire has done everybody kind of dirty. Everybody speaks English. So I understand.
It's the British fault.
Yeah. Isn't everything the British's fault?
No? Yeah, definitely not America. Don't look at us. Don't look at us over here. We're not doing anything over here.
Well, how did America come into being?
It all the British.
Back to the British Empire.
Thanks the UK for America.
It's the truth. So I understand the intention behind it.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's just too, what's the word, draconian?
Yeah, draconian. That's exactly.
So what do they do? How many names first are on the approve list?
I don't know, but it's not an exhaustive list by any means.
Okay.
There's lots of names that are not on there.
So there's a list of approved names.
And if you have like a variation of a name?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
No. Can you submit
a
name that you think? And do you have to do it before the child is even born? How does that work? Do you know?
No, you don't. I think you just, it's like an ongoing process of trying to get your name approved, you know?
That sounds horrible.
So you have to apply to it. And they say they only have two criteria. The first is that the name has to work within the system of Icelandic grammar.
Mm.
Which is totally bullshit.
Yeah, because...
Because you know what? Every name works within the system of Icelandic. Because it's not like when they report the news that like...
I can't say this name. It's not Icelandic.
Exactly. Like some foreign person's name doesn't break Icelandic. They just say the name. They probably say it with an Icelandic accent.
Right.
And that's fine. Like you don't need to... It doesn't need to have like all the varied inflections and things like this. It works just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that they don't want a name that denigrates the child. They want to prove that.
Who's naming their child something that...
Well, this is the thing. It could possibly happen that you name your child something terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my take on that. If you're going to name your child something terrible, chances are you are an unfit parent.
So the child is going to be taken away from you anyway?
Well, no. The idea is like by forcing you to use like a name that... Mm-hmm. Is not cruel, mm-hmm. you're like hiding the fact that that person is an infant parent.
Mm.
If we can see that from the get-go, and we don't need a language committee to step in. What we need is like child services to step in. You know what I mean?
Ruined my fucking life. Could somebody go check in on that child?
Yes. Could someone please go check on shit for brains? Because we think that maybe there's something wrong with that situation. Whereas if you make them, you know, name their kid Yon, you never know. And that person is still not going to be, you know...
Yeah.
That parent is still going to be a cruel person, but it's going to come out in a different way. So I feel the whole argument of like, we have to protect the children by only letting them use the pure Icelandic names.
Yeah.
That is some bullshit.
Yeah, that is.
There is a kid at Astrid's school, my daughter's school,
mm-hmm.
and she's registered officially as girl. Oh,
God.
Now, everyone calls her by the name that her parents gave her.
Mm-hmm.
That's her name.
Mm-hmm.
But the language committee won't recognize it because they say, this is their reason, because they say that it's not the right gender for her.
That is completely absurd.
Oh my God, people, gender is a construct and it causes so much more damage than it does good.
It's like, why?
What's the problem with her having a pink name instead of a blue name or a blue name instead of a pink name? It's so arbitrary and ridiculous.
It's mind-boggling.
Absolutely.
It's a name.
They would rather strip her of her, like, most essential identity by, like, only calling her girl than allowing her to have a blue name instead of a pink name.
There is a girl. I think she was on the news. I think it's the girl. Her middle name is Ripley. Named after the aliens character.
Right. Sigourney but that's not an Icelandic name.
No, but they fought the committee.
Did they get it?
Yeah.
Oh,
and then Sigourney Weaver came to Iceland and met her.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the names, I mean, I think some parts of Icelandic names are fantastic.
Yeah.
And some, they just need to, like, get rid of this committee and everything will be okay.
Yeah, because it limits so it limits the names. Like, you hear the same names over and over and over again. Yeah. And then, you know, sure, they're great names, but I don't know. Sometimes you want to have a little something different.
Well, I just feel like if you're a kid's parent, you're the one who gets to name your child.
Yeah.
Not the state. They shouldn't have any. That's not their business.
It's really
get out of there. Get out of there.
Maintain the roads.
That's right.
Preserve human rights, like being able to name your child whatever you want to name your child.
Let's fix our preschools, please. Someone here needs some child care. His name is Jonas. Don't worry about the names. Worry about the preschools. So, I thought that maybe we could talk about like a few choice phrases. For our listeners to learn.
Choice phrases.
Do you have anything like survival phrases that you think people should know?
Oh, geez. I get by with yow and nay.
That's probably enough. I mean, really, you can get by with whatever English you want.
Bless. But yow and nay.
I will say that it doesn't seem like Icelanders really appreciate it. I don't know why I keep on saying Icelanders.
Icelanders.
Instead of, I'm saying it like Newfoundlanders.
Icelanders, they do appreciate when you try and speak Icelandic.
I really think it goes a long way, especially with a little bit of the older generation.
Definitely or just with people the older people.
It just sounds like you just care.
Yeah.
It just sounds like you care a little bit.
Just a little.
So just learn like one or two things.
But then I always go into baby poop face when I greet them in Icelandic and then they speak Icelandic back to me and I have
English. Know what's next. I don't know.
So then I baby poop face and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going into English. Sorry. That's all I had. My apologies.
Abort. Back out. Switch back.
And I feel so guilty when I'm like, sorry. I really, really, it was all a charade. I speak English. I don't speak in Icelandic. I'm sorry.
But even at that point, yeah. I feel like they're very happy for you to have tried to go down that road.
They're there. They're like, oh, they're there. Mm-hmm. Let's just speak English. What can I help you with?
What can I help you with now? So maybe just some like fun phrases that, I don't know, I kind of like.
Yeah, you give the fun phrases because I have the yow.
The yow.
I have the nay.
You got the nay.
I've got the bless. I have Golden
Lion. Oh my gosh, so far you have two of the things I was going to talk about.
I have, yeah, that's what I have.
So one thing that Icelanders say that drives me crazy, I mean, I think it's just really interesting that they say this.
Okay.
But sometimes if you see someone while you're out, they say, oh, nay hi.
Yeah.
Nay hi.
Like, oh my God, how could I possibly run into you on this tiny island?
What are the chances? It's like, no way. Hi. What are you doing here?
I've experienced that a lot with going out with the husband. But that's because he's been away for how long?
That makes more sense.
For like more than 15 years he's been away. So when they do it with him, I'm like, oh, of course.
It's not going to go away, though. They keep on doing it.
It's like, I just saw you last week.
Yeah, and I don't get excited the way they do. Yeah, hi. Yes, hello. Not no hello. Yes, hello. Of course you're seeing me. There's only 350,000 people here.
Why the tone of surprise?
Why the tone of surprise?
I don't understand.
Another word that I find that when I say the word untranslatable, my linguist partner gets a little bit upset with me because he would say that everything is translatable. It just takes more words and like you explain the concepts. But there is this one Icelandic word that I feel is like not easily translatable.
Okay.
Say that instead. And it's the word hress.
And I can't even say that. Hress.
It's got that D-voiced rolled R in the beginning.
You gotta...
There's no throat clearing. It's all up front. Hress.
See? Jesus.
Jesus.
It makes me call on our Lord and Savior.
I like this word. And this is the phrase that people say is, are you not res?
Mm-hmm. Are you not? So how would you translate
it,
Jonas?
It's a difficult one to translate, but it's something like, it's like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Mm.
Are you ready to go? Are you rip-roaring? Are you ready to go? Mm. You're jazzed or you're juiced?
I think it's funny that Icelanders would, that would be something they would ask each other because they never look jazzed.
Yeah.
So to ask somebody, are you not jazzed? It's like they always have resting Viking face. They always look like they're ready to murder somebody. So why the question?
No, I'm not super excited.
It's like, no, have you not? You too are Icelandic, so you know.
I'm not too excited to go out into the rain and sleet. No, I'm not.
In May.
Yeah. Oh, this one. This one.
Okay.
I don't want to be too negative about all these things, but this one really bothers me. There's this phrase, tataretast.
Oh, we talked about
tataretast. That one. Tataretast.
Back in the first episode. Episode one, if you'll go back.
That's right.
We talked about this situation.
I really would like to talk about this a little bit more.
Yes.
This is a little bit of my therapy right here.
Get the weight off of your chest.
Here it comes.
Let me help
here
you
it
lift
comes.
It. Go ahead.
So literally this word means that things will work themselves out of their own accord. Not I will fix it, you will fix it, but it will fix itself.
It's like beyond passive.
Exactly. It's beyond passive.
It's not that somebody else is going to do it. The thing itself, the problem itself will somehow magically
fix itself. And the problem will just poof, go away. But when this is said, there's like also a heavy dose of like, cool your fucking jets.
Oh.
Calm down. Mm. Or there's a heavy dose of like, no, I don't think I needed to plan ahead. You know, like sort of like.
So it feels a little condescending.
Super passive aggressive.
And minimizing
yes.
the severity of the situation.
Exactly. Mm. Or at least that's the way I feel about
that's
it when it's being screamed
feel.
At me.
That's how it gets you in your feelings.
Like when we run out of gas, or when we didn't pay our electric bill, or the time that we didn't get out the vote hard enough and we accidentally installed like a fascist government.
Accidentally. Oopsie.
In the most powerful country in the world. Whoops.
As Dr. Phil would say, oh, how's that working for you?
How's that working out for you?
Not working at all, goddammit.
But I think so many people like it here because it's that like can-do American spirit.
Mm.
But really, I think it's not can-do. It's more like, let's worry about this later,
yeah,
basically.
That's not can-do American.
It's super procrastinism. It's, is that a word, procrastinism? Procrastination.
Super procrastination. And, yeah.
It's some bullshit is what it is.
Some bullshit.
It's some bullshit.
It's some ram shit.
It's some ram shit. Because that's what we have a lot more of here in this country.
Yeah. Ram shit. It's ram shit.
So, I don't want to be too negative about everything. But one of the things I do like about it, and you mentioned it, is how to say goodbye.
Yes.
And that's...
Bless, bless.
Bless, bless. I think it's just a really nice, sweet...
It is. And it's literally
gentle way
like,
of saying,
bless you.
Yeah.
Like, go well.
Go well.
Know?
Be you well.
Be well. It's a nice... I mean, it's the same as goodbye.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. God be with you
yeah,
or
God,
something?
Yeah, God be with you. And it just turned into goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye.
So it's good. It's good sentiment all around.
Yeah, I like that one.
Gives you warm fuzzies.
Warm fuzzies.
Good
this is the
bless.
Warm fuzzies
I
section
like
of the show.
I like to say bless, bless. Yeah.
Bless, bless.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought at the end here, we could maybe just talk about some sayings and some proverbs that are kind of fun. And
okay.
Find there. One is, awe, 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 awe. Awe, 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 awe. And if you look at this sentence, we'll put this up in the show notes. If you look at this sentence...
It does not look like a sentence.
No, it does not look like a sentence. It just looks like the same letter over and over
yeah.
and over again. But it means an ancestor, Awe, Au Au, from the farm called Au. Au Au has a sheep, or it's actually a ewe.
A ewe.
Mm-hmm. Au Au. No, E-Au, that is standing in a river. Awe, Au Au, Au Au, Au. An ancestor from a farm called Au has a sheep... That is standing in the river.
Mm.
So I have a lot of sayings and proverbs, but maybe we should just take it down to the one that matters.
Yeah, sure.
Or do you have some that you like?
No, I don't have any.
Okay.
I have none.
Well, I'll tell you one of my favorite ones is Terfishka Semroa, which means they who row out catch the fish.
Mm-hmm.
I just like it. It seems very positive. It seems like the opposite of Tataretas to me.
Yeah.
It seems like...
It's a positive, proactive...
You make the effort, you get the reward.
Getting it done.
Don't wait for things to fix themselves,
mm-hmm,
folks.
Mm-hmm. Get out there and row.
That fish goes
some
fish.
The yeah. fish are not going to come walking up the beach to you.
Nope. You got to get out there and get them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing Icelanders say, which I think is kind of funny, is "Takk fyrir síðast."
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
It means thanks for last time.
That sounds a little, especially when you say it like that, Jonas.
Thanks for last time, Lydia.
Ew, like we did something. We didn't, and it was just the podcast. But I just have a dirty mind.
No, I feel that way every time.
The last time, it's like, what happened last time? Did I get drunk and I don't remember what happened last time? What did we do? The way you're saying thank you.
Scandalous.
Ooh, I'm clutching my pearls. Oh my goodness, I don't do that sort of thing.
But I feel that way every time a Knife Scanner says thanks for last time to me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that connotation here. It's just, thanks for last time we were hanging out together.
Yeah.
Another one I like is, Yesel tadakitira ni kifta.
Okay.
I'm not selling it. Wait, what is it? I'm not selling it for more than I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that, like, you're saying, like, I'm not profiting off this information at all. I have no reason to lie. It's like when you see something shocking.
Okay.
Or, like, unbelievable, you're mm-hmm. just saying, like, hey.
I have no reason to lie about that.
I have no reason. I'm not making anything mm-hmm. off of this. I'm not selling it for more than I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. And then the last one
mm-hmm.
is Rusani Pilsintinim. The reason that the hot dogs end.
Yeah. That's us.
That's us.
The reason that the hot dogs end.
We're two little juicy bites of dried fruit.
Oh my god.
At the end of your meat tube.
No. Oh, that sounds so gross.
At the end of your metaphorical tube of processed meat. There we are.
Because there is a sausage that's made, like a sausage that's made with fruit in it. Or is it not? Is it no longer made?
Well,
is this an old school sausage?
Apparently, it was just like taken from like the way some old Danish sausages were made. Apparently,
oh, okay.
Like they used to like cap it off with a raisin for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and you get to the end of it, and there was your raisin.
And you're like, oh, look at that!
But it means like the cherry on top.
Yeah,
like you take something good and you make it even better
mm-hmm.
with a raisin.
With a raisin
at the end of your meat.
Wait, and it's funny that our podcast is the Raisin at the Hot Dog's End, because I don't eat raisins or hot dogs.
Neither?
I'm not a fan of raisins.
Really?
Really.
Raisins are delicious.
I'm about raisins.
You don't find that, you're not that into them?
No. Dried fruit in general, I'm kind of about. But raisins especially, so.
It's more of the spirit of the phrase that we're going for.
It's the spirit of the phrase, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And I don't eat meat hot dogs.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I eat veggie dogs.
You can definitely get a veggie dog.
Mm-hmm.
It might even have a raisin in it. You don't know.
It might.
Maybe
it
that's might, part to of like
give it some of that texture.
That's right. Some of the sweetness.
Mm.
Mm. If you're coming to the country, really do. I think just pick up a phrase or two. It can go a long way.
Oh, what I was going to say, yes. One of the things I was going to say is that context is key. Like, I understand a little bit of Icelandic, but mostly what I understand is context. It's like where you are,
right.
Who you're talking to, what the person could possibly be trying to express to you.
Those are the cues you can use. Yeah.
Done.
Do you feel like that's your saving grace when you speak?
It really is. Because there's, honestly, people, unless you're at, like, some sort of symposium where it's academic.
I'm sorry, what?
A symposium?
Oh, a symposium, yes,
a
of course.
A symposium where they're, you know, speaking very in-depth about something and very specifically about something that's complex.
You can figure it out, probably, right?
You can usually figure it out.
Yeah.
And also, this is a funny story about language. The other day, the husband and I decided to go to the movies. And he asked that I pick the movie because I didn't want to see all of the movies. Like, there were three movies. He's like, pick one. Whichever one you want to go see, let's go see that one. I looked at the trailers, and they all had English subtitles.
Where was it? Was this at
Paradis? At Bio Paradis.
That's a great theater, by the way, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I checked out the trailers, and I was like, oh, let's go see this German movie.
Oh, a German movie?
It was a German movie. It's a German movie made by Icelanders living in Germany, which I didn't know at the time.
But was it in English?
I'm getting there.
Oop, okay, sorry.
So we go to the movie. It starts. It's in German. And subtitles are in Icelandic.
Ooh, ouch.
I was like, oh, son of a bitch. And my husband starts laughing. He's like, should we go see one of the other movies? I was like, no.
I can do this.
I can do it. But the subtitles were like...
real fast, yeah.
Real fast. So as soon as I figured out like one part of the sentence, I was like, ah, shit, it's moving on. But there wasn't a lot of dialogue.
Right.
And there was some English dialogue in there. And a lot of German words are similar to English words. And context. And an excellent film doesn't really need dialogue.
There's so much else that tells the story, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, film is the medium of telling the story through action.
Right.
Through visuals. So I was okay. But I was like, my freaking God.
That's such an observation you just made.
Did I really just sit down to a German film with Icelandic subtitles? yeah, you did that, Lydia. Good job.
But you managed to enjoy the film, right?
I did. It was the film. Movie. It was a good movie. Adam. Adam is the name of the film. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait. This is about the guy and his mom is dying?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Tearjerker.
This is in the trailer, so it's not really a spoiler. She has a degenerative disease. Like, so she is going to die, but she's dying in a, like, very slow and just, it's not a good way.
So it's a rom-com.
It's not a good, just kidding. It's not a good way to leave the world. And she makes him promise to help her, to kill her.
To offer when it's time.
To offer when she can no longer, like, when she's not herself. She's like, just do away with me. Ooh. And so the whole movie's about him struggling with this.
But we don't get to that moment?
Which moment?
When she dies?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't. Oh, but see, that's kind of a spoiler.
That sounds painful.
It was good. It was a good movie. It was short, actually. And good.
Maybe the shortness is part of the goodness of it.
Maybe. They'll drag out the torture. Yeah.
Was anyone crying in the theater?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that kind of movie. It wasn't sad.
Okay. It was more like a thinker?
Yeah. And yeah, I guess so. It was more of an experience. It was kind of slice of life-y.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just remember my mom taking, we were someplace and we were going to go watch a movie and like, we were kids at the time and we wanted to watch some stupid kids movie, but she was like, no, I want to take us to this movie called My Life. It's really uplifting. And it's a story of like a guy who has a terminal cancer diagnosis and he's making videos for his unborn child.
Oh my God.
And I just remember thinking like, well, there's nothing uplifting about this whatsoever. This is emotional pornography. I did not know those words when I was a child. Yeah. And I was like, there's only one thing people come here to do. And that's ball their eyes out.
Yeah. Oh God.
But I always wonder like, if I brought an Icelander to that film, would it like work on them? No. Vikings don't cry.
Vikings don't cry. No, Icelanders are very emotional.
Yeah,
they are. They just hold it in until they drink a little bit.
Hidden depths.
They can't. I don't know. They aren't emotive by nature.
But they do use emojis.
They do. Freely. They do use emojis.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's their preferred form of emotional communication.
With their Viking face, the resting Viking face can't say.
It's all blank upstairs.
Comes through in the emojis.
It's a vast ocean of emotion downstairs.
Depths.
I mean, in their phones. That's what I mean when I say downstairs.
Not the below the belt downstairs.
Yeah.
No.
It's a different kind of movie. Is there anything else that you wanted? Is there anything else you wanted to talk about Icelandic?
Was there? I did make a vow, like if I ever magically learned Icelandic, that there was one person that I would never speak Icelandic to.
Mm.
And this is someone who, when I first came to Iceland, I want to say it was like third, fourth trip to Iceland. And he was like, oh, you know, you should really learn Icelandic because, you know, it's so isolating, like not knowing Icelandic, and you should really get on that.
Wait, was this an Icelander?
This was an Icelander.
Okay.
And I was.
You should really get on that?
Oh, he was God. Just like, yeah, you should really do that, you know, because...
ASAP.
Yeah, because, you know, it's...
Scratch that one off your list.
Yeah, it's not good, you know. And I was like, okay, thanks. It was just the way he said it was so condescending and just like, oh, like, what, you know, why aren't you doing this? Like, get on that. And I wanted to punch him in the throat.
Mm.
So after we moved here, I was like, if I ever, like, learn Icelandic and I'm just, like, whipping it out... As soon as I see him, I'm going to only speak English to him.
That's all he gets.
That's all he gets. He gets no Icelandic from me. Fuck him.
Unbelievable.
I was just like, ugh. And he's like that about everything. He's just very self-righteous and condescending. Ugh.
I hope he hears this.
I hope he does. He won't know it's him, though. He's like the guy in Harry Potter.
Oh, who has no... He's clueless.
Who's clueless about how obnoxious he is. Yeah. He's that guy. He has no idea.
So, one thing I did want to mention before we peace out here is if people are interested in learning Icelandic.
Because it is possible. Jonas is a testament to that.
Kind of.
You are.
There are. I'm telling you, there are moments when someone says something to me and I have no idea what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm pretty good in Icelandic now.
And I work with people who are not Icelandic, who have learned Icelandic and speak it very well.
It still just catches me entirely off guard sometimes. And I have no resource. I have no way to turn. I don't know what they're saying.
Do you ever break down and say in English, I'm so sorry, I seriously just don't understand what you're saying?
Yeah.
You've done that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. You gotta keep it real sometimes. Especially when like the vague nod like, doesn't work. Or sort of the huh. Because they've asked you like a direct question and you can't answer with huh. Like, what time should I meet you tomorrow? Yes? Yeah. That doesn't go. That doesn't work.
Don't be shame, as my dad likes to say.
But if you are interested, mm-hmm. the University of Iceland,
yes.
where we are sitting right now, as a matter of fact, yeah. we record this up at the university.
Because we're fancy.
They offer an Icelandic course online. I think it's just called Icelandic Online.
Oh, online. Okay.
It's a free course. Mm-hmm. And the people who put it together are people who really give a damn. And they've really put a lot into this.
Okay.
And it's a great little way to like dip into the language.
So you at least would have a familiarity with the sounds.
Yeah, with the sounds. And they have like little exercises and videos and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then,
I have to say that's one of the things that really tripped me up my first time here. Is hearing people, especially names.
Oh, yeah.
I met Hallgrimur. Can you say what that is like?
Hallgrimur.
So I heard that. And my brain, not being familiar at all with Icelandic, said, okay, he filed that name, Hal Greenberg.
Hal Greenberg.
It's like, that's what that sounded like to me. That's what my brain said. His name is Hal Greenberg. I was like, no, brain. That's not what he said. He said something else. And my brain kept saying, Hal Greenberg. I was like, I'm pretty sure his name isn't Hal Greenberg, brain.
So, we work with a woman named Holmfrieder, and I don't know what.
Oh my god, yes, we do. And it got stuck in my head as something else.
Home fry.
And I was like, that's not her name, brain. Stop saying home fry.
I think home fry now every time we talk with her, which is a cute little nickname, I think. Hey, home fry.
It's just in our own brains. No, look, there's home fry. But then that blocks her name from staying in my brain. It just keeps going home fry.
So if you're interested in dabbling, in the language, this mm-hmm. is it's a great free resource.
Mm-hmm. So that way you won't end up with a Hal Greenberg and home fry moment.
Well, also if you decide to go further with it, like if you're in the country now mm-hmm. and you want to learn the language, that's a great resource. And you can go further with it. You can like sign up for a course online as well. And
is this online course free?
The original online course is free, and then you can sign up for one where you actually interact with a tutor.
Okay.
And that one, I think they charge, I'm sure they charge you for that one. Okay. I don't know how much it is, but it's probably pretty expensive because everything's expensive. But you can always just, like, do the free one and see how that goes. You know what I mean?
That's good to know.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Even for me,
because, like, I think after the course I'm taking now, it would be good to have something that's free that I can just go back to.
Right.
To keep me. Keep me afloat.
Afloat.
Keep my head above the Icelandic choppy waters. I'm bobbing.
It's nice, though, because it's the people at the university who teach Icelandic to foreigners. It's the same people who designed, like, the online course.
Okay.
So they use the same materials, and there's also a fun book that just came out.
Okay.
It's, you know, Alda Sigmundsdóttir. She writes a lot of these...
Aldis?
Alda.
Alda.
And she writes there's a whole line of books called The Little Book of like Tourists in Iceland, The Little Book of Iceland, or I wish I knew what they were now, but I can't. But anyway, one of the newest ones is The Little Book of Icelandic, and it's a whole book that's just sort of like fun stories about the language, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of some of the things that we've been talking about. I think she's the one who let me know about Vasadisco, because I'd never heard about that, about pocket disco. But she did not ask me to plug that book. Mm-hmm. I did that because...
Out of the kindness of your heart.
That's right. And I really think she's an awesome writer and she's a fun person. So mm-hmm. We can put that link up on our show notes.
Mm-hmm. In the extensive show notes.
That we like to do.
Typed up by Mr. Jonas.
That's right.
That was all you, dude. I was very impressed.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yes. We also have a great Google map.
Yeah.
With a bunch of our travel notes in it.
I'm so happy about the map.
The map is so fucking useful, you guys.
I know. I hope people really use it.
Take a look.
I hope that they like come to Iceland and they're like, yeah, we used Jonas and Lydia's map to get around.
You know, one of the original reasons that I wanted to do this was because like 10 or 15 times a year, someone tells me like, I'm coming to Iceland. What should I do? And it's not normally a close friend. It's someone's, like, distant relative, like a friend of a friend, mm-hmm. which is fine. I think that's, I mean, I would do it.
Of course.
I would do it.
Yeah.
But, like, on the other end of it, like, I end up writing an email for half an hour, mm-hmm. and then sometimes I'm not getting a response at all. Yeah. And it's never, like, specific questions, like, should I take 7 days or 8 days to go around the island? It's always, like,
what should I do?
What should I do? What should I do? And now I can tell you, I'll tell you exactly what you can do.
You can ask Google.
That sounds mean right there. No.
Oh, that's why I said you can ask Google, because she sounded like you were like, I can tell you what you can do. And I was like, ooh, Joseph is getting mean.
I can tell you what you can do. You can download The Raisin of the Hot Dog's End.
You can.
The travel episodes are great.
Yeah, and there's a handy little map attached.
And there's a little map attached. And it's just me talking at you and Lydia talking at you about what to do when you get here.
I can imagine people listening to our podcast as they begin their trip around Iceland.
Oh, that's too late then.
Well,
they're going to be going around the wrong way, and they're not going to get to the part that we're talking about, and they're going to go, shit.
No,
we should have listened to this before we came.
They will have the map, and then just to keep them company on their trip, they'll be like, oh yeah, we just went there, and it was just like that. Or maybe they're going to have a totally new experience.
Ooh, or maybe they're going to find out that they're staying at the serial killer guest house.
Oh, ooh. Find out too late.
Yeah, that's not a good one.
Oh,
that would be... Can we cancel reservations? Thanks. Murder. Bye.
Oh, my goodness.
But please rate and review the podcast.
Rate and review the podcast.
That really helps us out.
So that other people can see it.
Yeah. Check out the Facebook page. Mm-hmm.
We've streamlined our social media, so it's just Raisin and Hot Dog across all platforms. Except for Snapchat. We aren't doing Snapchat yet. We aren't... I don't know. It seems like a young person's game, man.
The impermanence bothers me. I need it to stick around. I need to be able to go back and reference it.
Well, you know,
so that when I'm in my old age in the old folks' home, I can go back and look at all of my files.
All of these things, they really are permanent, even if you delete shit.
Oh, you're taking that tack.
Yeah.
They're there forever to haunt you.
It's there forever.
Especially if it's something stupid.
What are we going to talk about next time?
I don't know.
Ah, jeez.
But if you know people who are coming to Iceland, mm-hmm. let them know.
Spread the word.
I hope no one is like really depending on it, though.
No. Come on. People, well, I was going to say people are smarter than that, but people can be real stupid.
I mean, I think the Google map.
When they travel.
The Google map is really accurate.
The Google map is accurate.
But, like, we play fast and hard with the facts sometimes.
We do. Because we're human, and this is for fun.
Yeah.
So
we're not getting paid for this at all.
We're not getting paid.
Except in spiritual reward.
Except in likes.
You know who's not a comedian? This guy right
here.
You're
totally a comedian. You're so funny. You're a funny guy.
Thanks.
You're Jonas the fun guy.
Jonas the fun guy. Not the funny guy, though, necessarily.
I'm Lyd the tea drinker.
Oh, is that what you'd have in your... I forgot to ask you, and I was so wrapped up in my notes. And, like, keeping on track. What's my next joke? I hope I don't fuck it up. I forgot to ask you what your identifier would be in that.
Lyd the tea drinker.
Lyd the tea drinker.
Or, as I have in my blog, Lyd the tea enthusiast.
Enthusiast.
The tea enthusiast. Yeah.
What's that magazine called? Cigar...
I don't know.
It's a cigar magazine.
Aficionado.
That's what you are. You're like a tea aficionado.
Really just Earl Grey, though.
That's the only one you like.
Yeah. I mean, I like other teas. I don't like the fruity teas.
Are you? Well, thanks. We don't like you either.
You're not a tea.
I
don't like coffee.
That is a problem here.
Yeah.
These people are coffee drinkers from way back.
Yeah.
And they like it strong here, too.
Yeah, well, I think we should maybe do another episode on Icelanders. Just like on the, like, oh, they're super heavy coffee drinkers, and they are all really fair.
We're going to have to preface that with, like, the fact that...
A disclaimer.
That, like, we were making sweeping generalizations about entire people.
Hashtag not all Icelanders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that should be the name of the episode. Hashtag, not all Icelanders.
Yeah.
Next time on The Raisin at the Hot Dog's End.
Not all Icelanders.
You gotta say hashtag.
Hashtag, not all Icelanders.
There you go.
Sorry.
The baby poop face.
I do like the hashtag that you came up with, though.
Well, oh, so rad.
So rad.
we got to tell people the tag shit. It's so rad.
Yeah, I like it. It's S-O, raisin and hot dog, R-A-H-D.
So S-O-R-A-H-D. So rad, as in so, raisin and hot dog. Perfect. So,
wait, yeah. That wasn't perfect the way we just did that, though, because I feel like it wasn't, like, in sync.
I think that's so raisin and hot dog, though.
That's so raisin and hot dog not to do it in sync.
Exactly. You feel what I'm saying?
I do. I understand. I understand what you're talking about now. Like, done in good spirits.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. Kind of done well.
Slightly did they do off. It? Slightly off. And slightly may off. Or may not be factual.
May or may not be factual. May or may not be based in fact.
It may have touched a fact at one point.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Fact adjacent.
See, that's us.
We're living in the post-truth era.
So rad.
Yeah, so rad.
S-O-R-A-H-D. Raisin and hot dog.
So rad.
Bless y'all.
Bless y'all.